LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
My concern is that this total prohibition of federal funding, including Medicaid funds for Planned Parenthood, would cause millions of women across the country to have to find new health care providers.
The president can't be shielded from the weighty decision he'll finally have to make when this measure lands right on his desk. When the president picks up his pen, he'll have a real choice to make.
That's Republican Senator Susan Collins and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about a budget bill passed yesterday by the U.S. Senate that would defund Planned Parenthood and would also repeal major provisions of the Affordable Health Care Act, so-called Obamacare. Now, Senator Collins there is concerned that women will have to seek health care elsewhere if Planned Parenthood doesn't have its federal funding. Is that necessarily true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, December the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, joins us here in the first few minutes to talk about the Senate vote yesterday to defund Planned Parenthood. After that, Pastor Bart Day will join us. The Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod has dissolved its memo of understanding with the Boy Scouts of America over the issue of LGBT leadership in the Boy Scouts of America. We'll talk about kind of the complicated legal prospect that has caused that particular disillusion. Terry Mattingly will be our guest after that. We're going to talk about the faith of a police officer, also a pastor, killed during the shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. And then Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. Today, the church remembers John of Damascus. He's an 8th century theologian and hymn writer. Pastor Will Whedon will help us do that very thing a little later in the program. It's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Later on this Friday afternoon, we'll play those four soundbites. You listen. It'll be your chance to win the LPR bundle package. Then we'll also remember 4th century Bishop of Myra, St. Nicholas, remembered on the 6th of December, and 4th century pastor and hymn writer Ambrose of Milan, remembered on the 7th of December with Dr. Joel Olowski. You can join us as well. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Joining us to talk about the U.S. Senate vote yesterday to defund Planned Parenthood, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
How do you respond to Senator Susan Collins, who said there in the open that she's concerned that if we defund Planned Parenthood, and the reason she voted against the Senate defunding of Planned Parenthood, is that millions of Americans would have to seek health care elsewhere?
Well, because of Obamacare, unfortunately, a lot of Americans have had to find new health care providers. But I don't think that is a reason that we should keep funding with our tax dollars the nation's largest abortion provider. There are a lot of community health centers that would have gotten that money instead of Planned Parenthood, and they can provide a lot of services for the same women that Senator Collins is talking about. They can help with, you know, the women with their children, maybe even inoculations, vaccinations, you know, a lot of medical services that Planned Parenthood doesn't provide. So it actually would have been better for the people, I believe, to go to a community health center or some other health care provider rather than a facility that kills unborn babies.
Now, talk about the nature of current federal funding for Planned Parenthood. What does it look like? And what, of course, the president will be vetoing this if it makes it past the House. But what does it look like right now, federal funding for Planned Parenthood?
Planned Parenthood gets about a little over $400 million from the federal tax dollars. And most people think, well, why can't we just, you know, cut it out? We don't have to give them the money. But what they are doing is working through the Medicaid system. If you go to a doctor and you have insurance, the doctor's office will usually submit a claim to the insurance company for reimbursement. Well, the federal government acts as the insurance company. So when a Medicaid patient goes to Planned Parenthood for services such as a test for a sexually transmitted disease, contraceptives, other services, they can, Planned Parenthood can submit a bill to the federal government for reimbursement for that Medicaid patient. So what has to happen, it's not just that Congress can say, okay, you know, we're going to cut this line item out of the budget. They have to actually revamp the Medicaid program so that Planned Parenthood can't be reimbursed for the services that they do provide to women coming into their facilities.
So it's pretty deeply embedded in the Medicaid program.
It really is. And the beauty of this reconciliation bill would have directly affected the Medicaid program, the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIPS, and others that Planned Parenthood is able to get reimbursement through. So it would have affected directly the programs that Planned Parenthood is taking advantage of. And through this bill, you're right, I don't think President Obama is going to sign it, but they would have lost almost 90% of all of their federal tax dollars, which would be about $400 million.
Procedurally, how was the U.S. Senate able to, to finally be able to pass a bill would defund Planned Parenthood?
Well, as probably most of your listeners know, the Senate has a procedure called a filibuster, and you need 60 senators to agree to proceed on some measure. Well, we do not have 60 pro-life votes in the Senate. So anytime a measure was coming up, and they have voted to defund Planned Parenthood, but they didn't have enough votes to actually get that 60-vote measure to overcome the filibuster to proceed to the actual vote to defund Planned Parenthood. This came about because there is a kind of a strange quirk in the Senate law that allows them to come up with one bill a year to reconcile the budget that only requires a majority. It does not have to get that filibuster-proof 60-vote level. So this, we were able to pass the budget reconciliation, which includes the defunding, with 52 votes, because that's a majority. They just didn't have to reach that filibuster level.
What does happen to this bill next?
The House is going to take it back, because the House had passed a similar bill last month. The Senate bill yesterday had some changes, some new language, so that bill will go back to the House, and they will, I have no doubt, concur and just accept the Senate changes. It will then go to the president for his signature or for his veto. One thing, if I can just quickly add, there was actually an amendment offered on the floor yesterday by two Democratic senators, Patty Murray of Washington and Ron Wyden of Oregon, that would have taken out the provision to defund Planned Parenthood and would have inserted language to add an additional $1 billion, with a B, to organizations or facilities that offer health care services, but the only applicants eligible would be those who perform elective abortions. And there were actually 46 senators who voted for that amendment to $1 billion to abortion providers in this country. We were close, but we were fortunate we got 52 votes on final passage for defunding.
I would like your reaction to two things. First of all, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada said before the vote, and I'm sure he would probably feel this way after the vote, everybody knows that repeal is a gesture of futility. Of course, he's talking about both Obamacare and the defunding of Planned Parenthood. How do you respond to someone who says, because the president will veto it, this is a gesture of futility?
Well, I think we still need to put President Obama on record. You know, he says what he's going to do. Well, let's, you know, make him actually do it. This showed us, this showed all the voters where their senators stand on whether or not Planned Parenthood should be defunded. And this is a statement. We now know that a majority of members of Congress agree with the pro-life movement that our tax dollars should not be going to the organizations that kill unborn children. I think there were a lot of good reasons to pass this, even if the president is going to veto it.
And then this is from Dawn Loggins, Executive Vice President of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Her reaction to the Senate vote: it seems implausible that less than a week after a tragic shooting at the Planned Parenthood Health Center in Colorado Springs, some in Washington chose politics over compassion. How do you respond to that?
There is nothing compassionate about killing unborn children. and the American taxpayer should not be supporting an organization that does so. We already know that the shooter in Colorado had absolutely nothing to do with the pro-life movement. This is someone who has some serious mental problems. The two cannot be connected in any way. The senators were doing their job in watching out how the tax dollars are being spent, and they're not going to organizations that kill babies.
Finally then, Carol, does this at least in some way provide kind of a glimmer of hope that were there a different occupant in the White House, we could actually see the defunding of Planned Parenthood in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many things that we could do with the pro-life president in the White House, so many ways that we could protect unborn children. Preventing money from going to Planned Parenthood is just one of those steps. We could stop abortions on babies who can feel pain. We could stop abortions on babies that die by being dismembered through that abortion process. We could save babies who survive an abortion so that they have to be cared for. There are just a lot of things we could do with a pro-life president. So my prayers are certainly going up that our country is moved to do so next year.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You can find out more about National Right to Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
When we come back, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently decided to dissolve its memo of understanding, kind of a stopgap measure that had been in place with the Boy Scouts of America. Pastor Bart Day is going to join us on the other side of the break, Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission, to explain why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod dissolved its memo of understanding with the Boy Scouts of America. Stay tuned. Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God, for unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat, these are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. adcrucem.com, A-D-C-R-U-C-E-M.com.